Many of our listeners will know that OESC is seeing record numbers of claims due to the pandemic, and on television they're seeing long lines at the agency headquarters in Oklahoma City and at the other claims events you've had so far. Some who are listening may be even needing assistance themselves. So right off the bat, what would you say is going well in terms of getting benefits out to folks, and what are some ways you think the agency can improve?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first off, I want to tell you, we got the line thing figured out. We opened the doors at 6:45, and when we were at the Reed Center yesterday, we were completely free of a line by 7:15. So we've got that process down, I think. Other things that we're doing well is we've figured out how to efficiently get through 500 people and 500 plus actually. And help them with their claims, make sure that their issues are answered, and they walk out the door. They usually walk in pretty upset, understandably. You know, they've had a really hard time, but they walk out very pleased. You know, they're always complimentary, and that's been one of those things that I think the staff and our planning people have done really well, is to make sure that it's an event that's organized, efficient, and most of all, solves people's problems. There is some stuff I think we can do better, but not necessarily in conjunction with the events. I think that our legacy technology system is something that has plagued the agency for a long time, and if it had been replaced 20 years ago, that wouldn't have been too soon. It is something that every single action that has to do with claimants runs through this system. So if it's payments, it's claims, it's processing, and when you're dealing with a legacy technology from 1978, it becomes an issue because things break and you're constantly just masking taping that together. And that is something that the agency has limped along, but it's really plagued us during these record amounts of claims that are coming in.
One frustration I've heard from claimants I've spoken to is that, like you just said, they when they get to the event, they're very pleased. They get the assistance. They're super happy to have the claims event coming to their city. But they wonder why they couldn't get this help on the phone or online. You know, this is an investment of time, travel for many people. What do you say to those folks?
You know, I think there's quite a few different groups of people that are finding success with the claims event. And I do want to offer one caveat in that, like, the phone situation has been an issue since I arrived at this position, and I'm not okay with it. It is something that we're still working on to make sure that people can effectively use that call system and get relief from the issues that they have. We've served over 3,000 people in Oklahoma City, and that's 3,000 less people that'll be tying up that phone line. And I think we'll start to see the fruits of our labor with that. We're also training 50 new call center agents right now. They started on Wednesday. And so we're getting more people into, you know, the queue so that they can take calls, and we can start seeing that call volume being addressed in a better way. That is important to me. It's something that I admittedly don't think is going the best it could. And, you know, people's criticism is warranted because it hasn't gone the way it should. I think with the claims events, you're right. It's a heavy lift to take people, you know, and take some of our staff to Tulsa, rent out a place, do all of that. But there's a lot of people, I think, that are new to this process, and they need that one-on-one contact to feel comfortable with the system. When we take someone and we see what their issue is, we also have a resource center where they go and sit down, and we have them file their weeks, because you have to file weekly attestations, and we guide them through it so that they can be successful independently. You know, otherwise we would still need to have these vents over and over again, because you have to interact with the system weekly while you're on unemployment insurance. So I think that there is benefit in it that in this digital age we probably underestimated, but I think that the people that are going there are not going to be repeat customers. They're going to feel confident with, you know, the system. They're going to be able to answer the questions in a way that you know, that is truthful and also advances their claims. And you know, and like I said, in the digital age, there's something to be said for having someone sit across from you and say, I'm sorry for all the issues you've had, let me help you.
One thing we've heard for quite some time was that fraud is a major problem and is preventing some folks from getting their benefits. Can you talk about what the state of fraudulent claims and how those are being dealt with?
Yeah, that's another one of those issues that since I got here, we've put a lot of time and attention to. We have partnered with the AG's office and OMES and the law enforcement agencies to make sure that that when someone reports a fraudulent claim, it is immediately stopped, and then that goes into a database that is then shared amongst all those agencies so that we can all be working from the same piece of information. Another thing that we've done just recently, our card provider, the vendor Conduit, we required them to require the CVV code to have a direct deposit, an ACH deposit, so that people cannot, nefariously take the money off of a card without the card being present. And I think that's going to cut out a lot of that fraudulent activity that we've seen as far as claimants' funds. The other thing that we've done that I think is a benefit to claimants is we did some analysis on what banks and what financial institutions most likely had fraudulent activity tied to those accounts. We stopped all payments from being transferred to those banks. That has yielded millions of dollars in money that's now put back into the system and available for claimants to utilize, as opposed to going to bad actors that were trying to transfer the money for nefarious reasons. So we've seen some big leaps and bounds as far as fraud, as far as us addressing it, but there's still work to be done. And I think that, getting one step ahead of criminals and people that want to take the money that should rightfully be someone else's is always going to be something that we have in our sights.
Is there any concern that in the pursuit of stopping these bad actors and this fraud that additional identity or income verification may be another hurdle to some folks with legitimate claims?
Yeah, that's something, that's a great question, because it's something that we carefully weigh. We have people that aren't finding success with the system as it is, either because they're new to it or they're not computer literate, and putting another piece of identification on top of that asks them to navigate the system is definitely something we weigh, because we don't want to make it harder for other people. So when we're looking at it, it's something that I think is an imperfect decision from the beginning, but I think it's important that we offer alternatives, which we will, as far as the ID verification. We will offer that if people are not successful in doing it on the computer or they don't have a computer, they can always come in person to one of our 27 regional offices and show that identification, and then we can upload it into the system.
Something I've heard from political leaders, business leaders, employers that I've spoken to throughout this whole pandemic is that they're worried about, either conceptually or they're seeing it now, that some of their workers who can't come back are making more money in benefits, both state and federal, than they were at their jobs, and they worry that folks aren't going to be incentivized to want to go back to work. Is that something that in your role as director at OESC that you're thinking about or concerned about?
Absolutely. We're trying to open the state back up, and the state can't open back up and our economy can't thrive without people returning to work. If someone is offered a position and they refuse it, then they're not eligible for unemployment benefits. It's as simple as that. So I think that, employers having knowledge of that they can report it to OESC, and that, they can, if employees know that as well, because it's not an option to not go back to work if a position is open. Unemployment is supposed to fill that gap, but it's not supposed to be a permanent solution.
Just a quick follow-up to that. Are there exceptions for employees who may have underlying health conditions or be in advanced age or otherwise higher risk to contract the virus?
Absolutely. That requires a medical documentation, but it is something that is, that we have as an option as far as if people cannot return to work on a full-time basis or to their location. There is information on our website on what documentation you need.
I've seen reported, I haven't heard you say this directly, and you may have, and I just didn't catch it, but either you or OESC had said, these large-scale claims events may not be sustainable. Is that accurate reporting, and what exactly does that mean?
I'm not sure if I have said that, but I think the sentiment is something that I probably said, as far as we can't do this indefinitely. It's a huge lift for the agency, and there's the people that are working these events also have other jobs. They're they're neglecting something to be doing this. And it's fine, because this is what our number one job is right now, is to help people. But we also want to, as when I talked about people going to the resource center and filing their claims on their own, the goal is that we can help those who need, you know, our expertise to help them be successful. But as far as a long-term strategy, it's just not something that we could sustain day after day and rent out a facility to see 500 people a day. But is it something that we will keep as an option? Absolutely. I just don't want to say, oh, yes, we're going to be doing this for the whole month of July and August, you know, when I know that the reality of that is, as an agency, we have a lot of things that we need to be doing and spending, you know, 4 out of the 5 days a week putting on 12-hour events. And there's other things that we're neglecting.
Getting back to the specific event coming up in Tulsa, what are some of the difficulties of having a large-scale event during a pandemic, during a time of so many public health guidelines? And what steps are you taking to ensure that the event is as safe as it can be?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are actually holding a 400-person limit. In Tulsa, we had 500 in Oklahoma City, but we're doing 400 specifically for that reason, because the space dictated that we needed to hold it to a lower amount to make sure people are safe. We do, when people walk in the door, we take their temperature, we do a quick medical screening to see if they've been exposed to COVID, and we require them to wear masks while they're in the facility. Any of that, we've had to turn people away because their temperature has been too high, and we're you know, ready to do that in Tulsa as well. We want to serve everyone, but we want to do it in a safe way. And so I think that we're going about it in a way that is acknowledging there is a risk, but also taking every precaution we can to mitigate that risk.
Great. And I think my final question, unless you think there's anything very important that I didn't ask you about that folks should know, is what are the details? What should folks know about this event? What should they bring? When should they arrive at Expo Square? Just, you know, the practical details.
Yeah, well, we will be there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday at Expo Square. We ask people not to line up before 6 a.m. We will see you. You don't have to get there super early in the morning. And actually, we've been asked not to have people line up that early. So everyone that's listening, please, I promise we'll see you. Just, you know, stay within that time frame. We'll begin letting people in at 6:45. And we ask that if you have a claim that has fraud on it, that you bring two forms of ID, one definitely a picture ID, so that we can verify who you are. If you have any information having to do with your claim, bring it with you. People walk in with file folders and say, you know, this is what happened. And sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not, but it's great to have a jumping off point to figure out what's gone wrong in the process to help you. I think that's about it. You know, we give out numbers to people and we'll see 400 people a day. And I'm hopeful that we can see everyone that needs some help. It's going to be a great event and a great venue, and we're excited to come to Tulsa.
Shelley Zumwalt is the interim director of the Oklahoma Employment Security Commission. Director, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.